one. Thank you all for coming to But Why Though Reviews? Let's Talk Moon Knight. I am Kate Sanchez, editor-in-chief and co-founder and film head over at But Why Though, and I am joined here today by Suara.
Hello, everyone. How's it going?
He is a writer and podcaster, and probably like one of the two biggest Spider-Man fans that I know. He podcasts with the other biggest Spider-Man fan that I know. And then we are here with Aaron.
Hello.
He is one of the contributing writers over at But Why Though, and I will say, Suara, you are also a part of the But Why Though family, but you can find all of Suara's recent work over at Nerds of Color as well. So, y'all, Moon Knight. It is what we're here to talk about today. It finally wrapped. We're going to start with our kind of the lead up to Moon Knight. Like, what were you all expecting? What were your hopes? Some of your fears, maybe? Let's start there, and we'll hit it over to Suara.
Oh, me. Okay.
no pressure, bud.
So, I had known about Moon Knight before as a sort of C-list Marvel character. I had never really read any of his comics. I just knew the general concept that this was a Jewish-American man who got his powers from the Egyptian god Khonshu and was his servant and was, you know, the sort of quote-unquote crazy or person who was dealing with mental health issues that was also somehow Marvel's Batman. I had, like, very little idea of Moon Knight. I had heard so many things about him. When they first announced the series, I didn't really think much about it, to be quite honest, but it was actually the announcement of Egyptian director Mohamed Diab, who would be the head director for the series, that had me really excited. I was like, oh my God, the first time a Middle Eastern, or as we're saying more often, Swana person such as myself, is a lead creator in a big superhero property. And my excitement level went way up. And I am glad to say that overall, I was not disappointed. I really love this series, which we will discuss more of.
And you, Aaron?
So I was kind of in the same boat as Suara. I didn't know an awful lot. The one comic I got sucked into was more from the author than anything, which was the Jeff Lemire run on Moon Knight. I started reading it. I was blown away. And again, it approaches the story in the same way kind of like the show does, and it kind of doesn't give you that generic origin story and everything like that. And I was reading through, I was like, oh my God, this is, it shot up as one of my like top five like favorite comics. It's just so good. So then when I heard they were doing the show, I was like, oh man, there's so much potential with this. Like, and then hearing about Oscar Isaac, and I just love him, especially from like roles that he's not probably as popularly known, like Ex Machina. Like, he's so good in that. And I was like, he could do so much with this role. And for me, that's when I was just like, okay, I'm excited to see what, you know, comes of this.
Yeah, I'm much in the same boat. Well, I am more in the Suara boat for knowing about the character. I knew he existed. I knew all the hilarious panels that, like, yo, Dracula's, where's my money? Like, I knew all of those things. So I knew the humor of the character. And I knew that he was, like, a hybrid between Deadpool and Batman. And that was kind of where he was. And then Oscar Isaac got attached, and if anybody in the chat here knows me, they know that I love Oscar Isaac. So I was immediately excited for him to get into another comic book franchise and not look like Ivan Ooze. So I was very excited on that piece. Also, just the overall involvement of Egyptian mythology, that's something that I was really excited about. Not many people know, but my first major, because I went through a few of them when I got into college, was classical mythology, and I focused on Egyptology and stuff. So, like, my brain was so happy. And I like what we got a lot, which now that we've kind of given people our intros to us and Moon Knight. I want to let everybody in chat know this first 20-ish minutes will be spoiler-free. We'll be doing a kind of general review of how we think the series went, ways it could improve, things that we loved. And then after that, we're going to be jumping directly into a deep dive into everything Moon Knight. So that's where spoiler territory will happen. We will do a small little break so you can exit the chat if you want to, or if you want all the good juicy spoilers, you can come back at that time. But we hope you stay here the whole time, because that would be dope. So to start off, Moon Knight is 6 episodes. We follow Stephen Grant, a mild manner museum attendant. That's kind of generous. He's like a gift shop employee. and he has a tumultuous relationship with sleep, as you will, if you could say that. He sleeps, he dreams, and he sometimes wakes up in a completely different place. We don't really see a lot of what's going on until it's revealed that he actually has a dissociative identity disorder, and Stephen Grant is only one part of the character that we follow. The other part is Mark Spector, who is a seasoned mercenary and also the avatar of Khonshu, which is where we get Moon Knight pulled into the mix. The entire focus is them fighting a very, very, very creepy Ethan Hawke as Harlow, I almost forgot his name, who's pretty much a cult leader looking to resurrect the Egyptian god Ammit. And it's like Minority Report, but Egyptian mythology, if you think about it. Ammit likes to stop people before they even commit the evil, whereas Khonshu likes to punish people for the evil that they commit. See, that's the synopsis. So first off, I want to talk a little bit about Oscar Isaac's characterization of two characters. What were things y'all loved about it? Anything you all didn't like about it? We can start with Aaron this time.
So I feel like I'm a voice enough to be able to say, I really liked his English accent as Stephen Grant. I loved his Stephen Grant. And I think a lot of people were kind of like really bugging out a little bit at first because, you know, through some of the trailers, they'd hear his accent and like, oh, what's that supposed to be? How you're supposed to be English? And I'm like, you know, obviously, as you've already mentioned, it's a dissociative identity disorder. He's not actually English. And, you know, I think that worked, his adaptation for it worked well enough that it's bad, but it's kind of good. I just loved it. And his mannerisms and just kind of how he switches between the roles in general were just... It was a real interesting character study between the two, and I'm sure Oscar Isaac loved having to take on, you know, those two roles at once. But yeah, no, I was really blown away, and again, I loved Stephen Grant as well. Like, he's just so soft and nurturing, but as the show grows, like he becomes a really awesome part of the story. So yeah, I loved it.
And you, Swara?
So Oscar Isaac only signed on for one season of this. He didn't want to become part of the quote unquote Marvel machine, at least not yet. It was sort of like this first season was a test for him. And you could tell that he was having the time of his life in not just one role, but two or even more, as we may discuss. And he just put everything, every inch of his like acting ability into Mark Spector slash Stephen Grant slash Moon Knight. And what I love so much about it consistently throughout the series is that this is a man who is at war with himself. He is carrying so much trauma, so much anxiety, so much pain that simply exudes out of Oscar's performance in almost every scene that he's in. And you're just drawn to him. You want to root for him, every aspect of his personalities. And even though you may not completely understand everything that's going on, you're just compelled to go on this journey with him. And I think that's especially with Stephen Grant. We can argue that this is Stephen Grant's origin story, like throughout this series. We've already had Mark Spector's, but now it's for this new personality to really come into his own as like this new facet of Moon Knight. And I think like Oscar's performance throughout was mesmerizing. And I really hope we get Moon Knight season two. We shall see. Or at least I feel fairly confident we will see Moon Knight again in the MCU. So I'm very satisfied and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, I think for me, I think acting against yourself and embodying different characters and having to make them completely separate. Like, these are two polar opposite identities in every way, shape, or form. The way they talk, the way they walk, the way they like enter into situations. And I think his ability to completely jump from one to another is like that for me is the test of an actor. Like, how quickly and how seamlessly can you change the entire persona that you're playing? And I think that was one of the really beautiful things about it. And as much as I love Mark, I think Steven Grant's my favorite because there is this endearing quality. Like, Mark is like that grizzled, charismatic, like bad boy that you automatically know is great. And then you have Steven Grant, who is this soft, cuddly, vulnerable guy who like really just wants to be normal, and really just wants to feel okay. He wants to have a love life. He wants to just live without having to chain himself to a bed, which is not a red flag, by the way. That was the biggest mistake of the season. but I think that was what was beautiful. So he was able to essentially give two completely different things and really make you buy into it. I at least from reading or hearing how people have talked about it, like, they were bought in as much to Steven as they were to Mark, which I think is something that is kind of iffy when you're doing a story like this, right? When we look at how we round out the cast, though, there are two other folks we have to talk about, which is we'll start with Layla, because I know Suara is super excited to talk about Layla. So Layla is, to be honest, she's Evie. Like, there's so much of, like, the Mummy, like, in here that it makes me so happy. Because I think that, like, the way that they establish, like, the tropes and bond between those two people in that movie is really what I look for as like a standard for like showing both a male and female character in an action adventure, like done well. So tell us a little bit about Layla, Suara.
Oh my God. When I first heard that Mae Kalamaui, who is Egyptian and Palestinian, was cast, I was over the moon. She's amazing in Rami on Hulu. Everyone should watch it. She's fantastic. As Layla, as this Egyptian, this Arab woman, who just takes care of business and has her own vulnerabilities and heart and fearlessness, I have, and the only other example I can think of in superhero media is Zari Tarazi on DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which just got canceled, RIP. But still, like, of a Swana woman who has like all these deep complexities and is able to be an active part of this adventure, not just in the background and not just part of some Orientalist backdrop, but a fully fleshed out character who cares deeply for Mark and Steven, but also has her own ambitions, her own goals, and is willing to go out to save her people, Egyptians, as well as like the earth as much as she can. And she's wonderful. I love this character so much. And I love that it was essentially an original creation for the show. She does fill the same role as, I believe her name is Maureen in the comics, this blonde white woman, but they decided to make her Egyptian in the show, named Layla Al-Folli. And yeah, I just think what Jeremy Slater wrote and the other writers wrote for her, and what Mohamed Diab casted May with her, and May's performance with it all just came together so beautifully into this amazing new character in the MCU that I desperately want more of. I love what we got in this first season, but I want Layla Al-Folli to be the first of many, like, Swana superhero or heroes / ally / main characters in this sort of media, like you were describing, Kate, the sort of Evie type who is on this action adventure, who is equal to the guys. And I just want so much more of that. And for Marvel, for the MCU to have like created this standout character fills me with so much joy. And I know other SWANA people and SWANA fans feel the same. And I'm so happy. So that's what I have to contribute.
I will say my words are just genuinely, like, she is like Evie 2.0 in like the best ways. Like, I mean that in every single possible thing for me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
I love her to death. But I want to move it to Aaron to answer this, because I feel like I have nothing other to say than I love her and she's dope and great and everything. So, Aaron, how do you feel?
I was a big, big fan of her. And again, you know, having read some of the comics, I was aware of the female role that plays alongside Moon Knight there. And she always kind of felt a bit like flat and a bit two-dimensional. So when they introduced Layla into this, like, she's just so much more, and she's heavily a part of the story, and she's intelligent and she's physical and she holds her own, and she's there. Like, you know what I mean? She gets so much more depth added to her. And I was like, good, you know, like, it can't just be one character holding up the entire series.
Yeah.
And I loved how she interacted, you know, with a Mark, like the way she approaches the character of Steven versus Mark, like, you can almost see her treating them as two separate people, like, yeah, how she holds herself, or the intonation in her voice, like, she's a little bit more patient and gentler with Steven versus she's a little bit more short and, you know, care with Mark, because
yeah,
there's history there. But she was able to convey, like, such emotion in some of those scenes, and it's hard to do that sometimes. Again, like, she obviously hadn't got as much screen time as, you know, as Mark and Steven, but when she's there, she grabs a hold of your attention. She really, like, makes her presence known. And it was just exciting to see. And obviously, as the story goes on, she only gets better and better. I think episode 4, later in that series, where, like, they kind of have that mummy vibe going on, was the fear that she can, it was phenomenal. I'm such a big fan. I've not seen her in anything before, but I would happily watch her in a lot more now, like, knowing what she can bring to the table.
Yeah, and I think
you gotta watch Rami, it's so good.
And so I think, to kind of round out our characters, really, we have to talk about Ethan Hawke, which I don't have too much to say other than that, like, man, I just love Ethan Hawke just taking on, like, give me the weird genre thing and I'll do it. Because, like, him as cult leader is very believable and really creepy. And I think that there's a subtlety there's a subtlety that's almost ominous. Just, he's, like, this kind of omnipresent piece of the story versus, yeah, necessarily, like, 1v1 type villain hero dynamic that I really appreciate, kind of breaking form from how we usually see stuff either in Marvel shows or movies. So I thought that was nice. What about you, Aaron?
No, I have to agree. I love that, like, he sounds dangerous, but he's so softly spoken. It's almost like every word is like a threat or a promise.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, like, he is powerful with it. Like you said, like, having to, like, go through and smash through walls and be so physical. Like, and I feel like we've been missing that element from the MCU, like, more of, like, an intelligence, like a power behind it that doesn't rely on just, you know, violence and fighting and stuff like that. And can having armies, like, I mean, obviously he does have his own little army, but, like, he uses, he's so convicted in getting everyone onto his side, and the way he convinces people over as far as his message and his mission, and
yeah,
again, that whole cult that he builds, yeah, behind it.
It's a manipulation, mm-hmm, through an idea, yeah, versus, like, physical threat.
Absolutely. And Aaron, I especially love, like, how he was able to do that with Steven and with Mark, like, that,
yeah,
psychological, yeah, manipulation, and just exploiting him and calling out, like, hey, you know, the slight spoilers, but you're being taken advantage of by Khonshu. Do you really want this? And sort of,
and that was such, like, a good scene as well, because, like, he, mm-hmm, almost forecasts and predicts as Khonshu's talking, and he's so believable. He's almost too compelling as a villain to really, yeah, Like, he kind of walks that line up until, like, you know, Steven's
he thinks he's doing good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like, what that touches on specifically, like, those elements in the early episodes of the show can kind of transition us into the next point, is like, so, like, a couple of things that we thought the show did well. And I think for me, what I think it did really well was showcasing Steven not really seeing himself. Like, he wants a normal life and he wants to be different, but he doesn't think that he's broken. And I think that there was, like, this real, that's my favorite line that I keep holding on to, is, I'm not broken, I just need a little bit of help. And that's kind of like the focus of the series, right? It's not about getting rid of Steven or getting rid of Mark. It is, like, that's what it kind of starts out as, but it's about accepting the two halves of the whole and understanding how you can move forward through that and processing it. And ultimately, like, I did not know Oscar Isaac only signed on for one season, which makes me really worried, because places that you can go after this now that you have two working in unison is something that we really get that established Moon Knight element, really. So that was something for me that I thought the show did really well, that I would, like, want people to watch it for. Suara, what about you?
I just want to say I totally agree on that. Again, we'll get into it in spoilers, but I desperately want a season two. I think it's popular enough that it will, fingers crossed, but we shall see. The question was about what generally it did well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that, well, I mean, the number one thing I have to say is that, now, respectfully, don't get me wrong, I grew up loving The Mummy, The Mummy 2. That was my childhood. But we can also admit that these were films made through a lens of Orientalism, of, like, portraying the Middle East as this very exotic, yellow-filtered place that is, like, dangerous and super magical and, like, it, you know. But what Mohamed Diab brought to the table, along with other Egyptians he had on the creative team, is that you can still have that. You can still have the fun, thrilling aspect of it, but you can still make Egypt and other countries in the Suana region a grounded place, a real place. We got to see Cairo vibrant with color and people and the bazaar and no yellow filter. What's that? Like, with just regular colors. That's great. It's just like, that's what really impressed me, of, like, having this, again, this thrilling magical adventure, but not exoticizing the place that they're in, just making it feel grounded. And through the character of Layla, through the presentation of Egypt, and honestly, the presentation of the Egyptian gods themselves, like, the Egyptian gods felt like real people. I thought, this is great. I love this. Especially as an Egyptology fan. Like, I love Egyptology. I think it's personally cooler that, well, I know Greek mythology has more variety, but I love the pantheon of Egyptian mythology more, and, like, Ra, Osiris, Isis, like, the other Hathor, Horus, like, I can go on and on about that. I thought that was incorporated really well. I think that I love the general vibes of this season. I think that it gave a good sort of creepy, psychedelic, that's especially what I love, the psychedelic aspect of it, of, like, the psychological aspect with Mark and Steven. And again, like, keeping it both grounded and weird, a really great balance of that. I will say, though, I think that in terms of structure, I think it could have maybe been a bit better. We've discussed this before. Maybe it could have benefited as a movie or a longer series. I personally wish it was a longer series. I wish we had, like, more time to expound on all of these characters and themes. But so I will say that I think the parts overall were better for me than maybe the whole, if that makes sense. But overall, I still really loved it and will definitely watch it again.
Yeah. You, Aaron?
Well, Suarez left me with nothing there. No, I would say, I mean, just the cast is phenomenal. I just love the cast. I mean, we haven't touched much on it, but Murray Abraham as Khonshu, phenomenal. I mean, I've got such a soft spot in my heart for him because of Mythic Quest. And when I found out he was Khonshu, I was like, no way. So I was really excited because I thought as Khonshu he did really well. But I mean, that kind of expands onto that. Like, I love the whole mythology behind this. Like, it was done in a way that I've kind of been yearning for when I've watched some of this stuff before. It was really good. Like, again, love The Mummy, like, grew up on it, fantastic movie. And I've always liked seeing stuff like that. Stargate, another one, like goes into, all that mythology, and I love it. So I thought that was fantastically done. And again, the cast, I mean, Oscar Isaac. I for me, I guess if I had to pick a number one thing, it would just have to be Oscar. I mean, his performance in this was just absolutely just phenomenal.
It was a tour de force.
I enjoyed it so much. So much.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything both of y'all have said. And I think as we move into towards, I think one of the things that I'm gonna start with what I liked, but also how that thing could have been improved. So I really loved the blending of genre. And in the junket for Moon Knight, Mohamed Diab really focused, like really highlighted how he played in every genre sandbox that he could. There are elements of horror. There are elements of the treasure hunting action adventure, which has a huge soft spot in my heart. There's drama. There's thrill. It's a thriller. Like all of those pieces.
The comedy.
The comedy. Like it all fits seamlessly because you're using real characters to propel the story. But to Suara's point, I do think that the pacing for the show and the short episode order at only 6 episodes kind of hurts that flow almost. Because I think one of the things that Moon Knight has is that it is such a dense series with mythology and drama and everything that you don't really get to see things have its own spotlight in a way. Like you're so quickly moving from one thing to another that you kind of lose the through line a little bit. And that's something that, I mean, 3-4 more episodes, like that could have helped a lot. Or if you cut out some of the exposition and make it a feature film, boom, you got it. Like that's something that that could have helped that quite a bit. Because I do think they sacrifice some of the more physical elements of it to tell more drama-driven story. But drama needs time to breathe, man. Like, you gotta let it kind of flow out. I don't know how I know.
It's balance.
Yeah,
it's,
there we go.
you've got to look for that balance, and it was definitely missing in parts. Because I did love the exposition, but you're right. Like, it's kind of one after the other, and boom, boom, boom. And you're really only following between, Arthur Harrow, Layla, and, Mark / Steven. So you're really centralized in your story. There's not many other places to go. So, I mean, I'm always going to lean towards, I love long form. So like seeing like a couple more episodes to kind of let it breathe. And I would have loved to see more from that pantheon of gods as well. Like maybe a bit more action and, like, doing something there and other avatars and things like that, like expanding that world. Because that's one element I actually really liked, and the fact that it was not as connected to the MCU as other things are, and it was its own centralized thing. It could just really focus on
absolutely
Mark's world. I love that.
Just let characters in this universe do their own thing. Not everything needs to be connected. Yeah. Something can stand alone as a story. Sorry, you're saying here?
I was going to say, it sometimes feels like it's like they're hindered. Like it has to be, it can only be successful if it's supported by another property. I don't think that always needs to be the case.
Yeah, just tell a good story.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we need. And that's the thing I loved about this season is that there was almost no reference to the wider MCU. That was great. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to that point, that's what took me out of Eternals a lot, was all of a sudden Iron Man, we get name drop. I was like, oh, I was actually really vibing with this movie. And then you just reminded me that it's MCU and this feels a little forced. I don't like it. I agree.
But something else you talked about, Kate, how the focus on the drama-filled story kind of like took away a bit from the action. And I had to absolutely agree with that. I wish that there was more action in this series. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love the drama. Like primarily that's what I wanted in a good story, but I'm just going to say it. Like Kevin Feige says a lot of things that don't come to fruition. So we should just not like listen to him generally. He said that like, this would be we're not pulling any punches, it's going to be super violent or stuff like that. And it was like kind of normal MCU action. I think there were like a few stabbings here in the background and stuff. And, some things happened off screen that were only implied. And this was like no Daredevil, I will say that.
100%. And as we close out our non-spoiler review, What are your final thoughts on Moon Knight? Would you recommend somebody watch it? And yeah, we'll start with Swara.
I will absolutely recommend people watch this series and understand that this is actually something new for the MCU. Finally, something bold, something with a very clear vision that is not connected to anything else. It's a refreshing breath of fresh air, and you will find yourself very compelled by all the performances in this really great series. So yeah, go watch Moon Knight.
Aaron?
Again, Suarez taking all my good points, man. Killing me tonight.
I'll make sure to go with you first in the next half.
No, I would agree. I'd absolutely recommend it. It's so fun. And again, I just like the fact that it's its own little thing. It doesn't come with all the baggage of the MCU. You can jump, a new fan can jump into this without feeling completely left behind, without watching 25 films and 6 shows or however many we're into now. And they can just enjoy it for what it is. And I really like that. And again, it was just a really well-told story with some, you know, great exposition and some good action. I wish there was a little bit more, but I think it still works, you know, by itself and its own little separate. And I hope we get a little bit more of that moving forward, where it doesn't always need to kind of be jammed or shoehorned in, you know, with these, you know, mentions every now and again. But yeah, no, I absolutely recommend it. I loved it. And I mean, Oscar Isaac, man. Daddy.
Oscar Isaac.
that's not my final word. Oscar Isaac. Done. Finished.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think people should watch it. I think one of the exciting things about it, especially, y'all can check my review for Multiverse of Madness on the site, but my biggest thing with that is, like, gone are the days where you can just jump into something. Like, you're forced to know, like, an entire series beforehand. And what Moon Knight is it's something just fresh. It's something new. It's mostly self-contained. Well, it's self-contained right now. You can see where it can connect other places. But, like, you can jump into this with nothing. And I think that that really helps. And I think that that makes it exciting, kind of like you said, Swara. It's something fresh and new and kind of bold in that direction of just doing its own thing. That whether it may be hit or miss for you if you're going and expecting, like, a whole bunch of Moon Knight, like, messing up goons, like, you're not going to get that so much. But you will get a different story that doesn't necessitate knowing the whole MCU. So I think it's yes, watch it. So as we transition out, for those of you watching, we do have a YouTube channel. This part is going to go on that YouTube channel. So we're going to do a quick little check-in. Swara, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you if they want to see more of your writing and podcasting.
So y'all can follow me on Twitter at SpiderSwars. I am a writer for the Nerds of Color. I do interviews and sometimes reviews. I reviewed Moon Knight for the Nerds of Color, so check that out. And I am a podcaster. I do 2 podcasts, one of which is on the But Why Though Podcast Network. It is Into the Spider-Cast, where CJ and I talk about all things Spider-Man and Spider-Verse. So we could try to cover it all. And I'm also a co-host on the Nerds of Color Network for the Middle Geeks. We are 2 SWANA fans who discuss everything and anything from a MENA/SWANA critical lens. And y'all should check us out there.
Aaron?
I was going to say, Suarez done this before, man. That rolled off the tongue so well, man. Well, you can find all my writing at But Why Though. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at BritishCPA. And then I also did a little bit of freelance work for Nerds News Social. So I write for them every now and again. But yeah, that's everything I do. And I want to be on this more, so hopefully I'll be doing more videos on here as well.
And same. I want to do more of this. Yes. Please.
And y'all can find me fun at Oh My Myth Randier on Twitter and stuff. I am there yelling about a lot of things. Oh, if Oscar Isaac's in something, it's usually him.